some of it in native language. And we're trying to get it interpreted now, see just what it is. And it's a book where it's thick handwritten.
Mm-hmm.
I guess how he came over and what he did here looked like. We had some of it interpreted, and they couldn't. We had.
Let's go face it, there's going to be people that are going to need money, they're going to need money right now, and they're the ones that can, you know, be selling it. But I think some of us that, you know, kind of thinking for the future, and you know, we'll hang on to them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we have, might as well face it again, we have a problem with alcohol, you know, in the state of Alaska, and, you know, in our region, it's bad. And what's going to happen if they get a little drunk and want some money now? They'll sell,
mm-hmm.
you know, without even thinking twice.
You know, there's, under corporate laws, you can do that right today. You can. Our corporation, our shares right today were worth about $10,000 a piece. That's cash asset, not even value of the land. But I always thought. Now let me tell you my thinking of this thing. The corporations are under state, federal, state laws. A corporation, any corporation, can declare dividends or split stock. Meaning if you were to sell your share in 1991 to the corporation, I could tell you and make the corporation board of directors can say, we want to split your stock, meaning you need $5,000. Yes, we can give you $5,000 and you can keep 50% of your shares in the corporation. You know, people need money, like you say, you know. And have an option where you can go back and pay off that $5,000 if you want and get your 100% again, 100 shares again. That can be done right today under state corporation laws. My thinking is this, if Congress doesn't take recommendations from Mr. Bircher and from the resolutions or amendments that the AFN is trying to talking about, if that all fails, then only other recourse we have is to change the state corporate laws, which we can do in Juneau more easily than we can do in Washington. Because every one of us sitting here know our legislators. We got access to them. See, what happened to us, I think in my mind, this animal we have, whether we like it or not, and I testified just like you did, I didn't know too much about in 71 what this law contained in Native Land Claims Act itself. I didn't. I knew it was there, you know, but I didn't know it. I knew some of it. And we got this thing, it's signed and it's a legal document, you know. So the best thing to me then, I always think, is let's take the Western world and work with it and make it better for us, you know, if Congress wasn't going to change it, you know. I think we have ways to do that right today through the corporations can do these things, you know.
Anything else on your mind?
No.
Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Right.
Okay, you girls from Crooked Creek? Crooked Creek is run by women, often all women.
Good. Must be well run.
Well run.
Okay, I'm Evelyn Thomas. I'm the traditional council president, and I'm also the president of the corporation, the nonprofit corporation we formed to receive state money
at
Crooked Creek. To go back to when, you know, this corporation was formed, I think.
You mean Keskaboom?
No, when, you know, they first started the corporations, when the land claims started.
Right.
I think at that time it was necessary, you know. We, so many people were moving up here to Alaska, and our own people were getting pushed off to the side. We didn't know, you know, about land and things like that, you know. Somebody has a piece of land, nobody cared if somebody else walked across it, you know. Like, let's take Crooked Creek. We, you know, everybody has their piece of land. There's no fences, and nobody cares, you know. I mean, if you want to go pick berries at the end of Ellen's land, she doesn't mind. She doesn't, you know, say you're trespassing. Okay, that's the way it was for us.
How many people live in Crooked Creek?
119. Okay, but the Western world was coming to us. And for them, they take a piece of land and they put a fence, and you don't cross that land. That's theirs. You have to ask their permission. Okay, they were doing that to us back here. It happened to Aniak. Too many white people moved in, and now the native people are allowed to go to Bingo, is the way I see it. You know, the native people don't run in.
That the corporation was looking at that. What if I told you that the corporation is thinking about, because we're a private landholder, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're a private landholder, and we can do that right today. You know, we own 1 million acres here, or you do. What if we were to tell you, we were thinking about, here's the Kuskokwim River, and saying that no hunting will be allowed in the Native Corporation's land except natives without our permission. We can do that, you know. Meaning from Mancridge, from any other area, only way they can go in there is by asking permission. Now, we've been thinking about that because there's a lot of pressure. What do you think about that? But the natives can hunt during hunting season, mm-hmm. You know, this is private land, you know. Mm-hmm. We can do that, but we haven't yet done it, you know. We've been talking about it, though.
I think it's a very good idea, because...
Take it in need basis, you know.
Sure, that's the only thing we live on,
if
is success.
Then we get permits out, you know. And that can be done right today.
Can I ask you a question? When you specify natives, do you mean in the corporation or do you mean
natives in the last? I think, to me, we're all natives. I don't like to say Kessel is different because we're all natives, you know. To me, that's how I would treat it, you know. But I would say this, though, Gail. I would prefer that the shareholders or natives up here use the game first and then whatever they decide that, you know, a lot of moose being killed, no control, you know. I would say then you would have another round and say, yes, we have these limited amount, you can come in here in our lands, but they can sure go to state land and hunt anytime they want, you know. But we're all natives, you know. I mean, we have to look at it that way. I'm no different from being on Barrow, you know. But those are some of the things that we're discussing too, to try to, I know there's 200, somebody told us yesterday, when the 200 and some boats come up last year from just from the coast, you know. That's a lot of pressure in this area, moose mm-hmm. pressure.
And the boats go down the shore or moose in
them? See, we won't have that very long,
sure.
That keeps up.
You know? The moose population will really go down slightly.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people's hair live on subsistence.
Now let me ask you this, the law also says we got 1 million acres. If the people of the shareholders would tell the board next year to divide the 1 million acres and give each one, that can be done too, you know. Meaning everybody would get let's say 1,000 acres. We could do that too, you know. And then you could turn around whatever you want to do with that land and what you would do is dissolve the corporation, dissolve it, take it out, you know. But before we do that, we can by law we could give you each whatever 1 million acres divided into 1,120 shareholders. We could do that too. What do you think about that?
Each native would get 1,000 acres somewhere. That can be done. I don't think that's a good idea myself.
It would, if we were talking about selling our stock, that's what we would be doing. You wouldn't have any control who sold 1,000 acres somewhere and don't know what value it is, you know. But there's a lot of people thinking about that.
Any more?
I was going to bring this up, but how far up Polikna is our
land?
Yeah.
Peter,
just above cabin.
Side of that beaver.
Beaver.
Beaver Mountain.
Yeah.
Beaver Hill.
Yeah.
Just a little side of a quarter of a mile.
Yeah. It doesn't go too far.
Yeah, I'm up to a hurry now. It's about Beaver Mountain, Beaver Hill, and main river is a little bit of Enoch or even more in Enoch.
Does that answer it?
Mm-hmm. How about these people that are building fishing and hunting lodge? What's that got to be?
Mm-hmm.
How are we supposed to control those?
Yeah, I've heard about it. They're in state land up here. Here's our, say this is Beaver Hill here, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know them homesteaders up there, right through Holitna, wherever they go. They have homesteads. The state of Alaska gave them a homestead there. There's not a damn thing we as a corporation can do. But we sure can voice our opinion and have a shareholder meeting and saying the people don't like it. But they have every right to put a cabin or whatever they want there.
You mean they could from their homestead, they could go someplace else and make a home, another home, and build a fishing lodge or hunting lodge
if
there?
If they own that, say they're over here in Holitna and they got another piece of ground over here that his wife homesteaded. Sure, there's nothing, he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing we could do. Only really control we have, and it's some degree, is our lands, you know. They can't come in here, over here, and make a cabin without us going to them and say, you can't do that.
Do you know about that house that's above here, you know, not very far from Pete Melick's, that one Gesak got this house up here in Holitna?
On the left hand side of the river?
On the left side, gone.
For the last 6 years or so, somebody from Fairbanks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He got two chairs. Once in a while, they come down, him and his wife, both flies.
Hmm.
So.
They have a little house there.
Right in the.
Right?
Mm-hmm. No, I never heard it.
Well, whose land is it on?
It's ours.
It's village's land, sport bill, according to our.
Nothing is conveyed, you know, to any individual. Maybe a land allotment, but I don't know. But I can find out. I didn't know nothing about it. Nixon should report those things, you know.
Crooked Cajun's right. I talked to Jim Wick about it, and he said he was going to look into it, but I waited.
Who did?
Jim Wick.
Okay,
We haven't.
Yeah.
We never heard.
And also this lady from Maniac, Debbie Lee,
yeah.
I asked him, of course, on a couple of occasions,
yeah.
And he said he's going to look into it, but no feedback yet.
Okay.
So I don't know.
I'll find out for you myself, you know.
That's all.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, if anything like that, let me know. Call me, Peter. Just, you know, I can get to Jim that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You bawl me out, I bawl him out, right? That's the way it goes.
But most of the people are concerned here, the villagers, is they're getting too many, the lodges up in that area where we, the headwater of our village,
mm-hmm.
are hunting rivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excuse me a second. Do you mind stepping up to the table, and because we wanted to get this. Sorry, Mr. Zakaria. You want to start again?
I was very concerned, not only me, but the older people, and also the young people. Like my son is 14 years old. a couple of nights ago, we were sitting down at the supper. I was talking about it, how it used to be in my life when I was back in 40s and 50s, you know, the people were just like one big happy family, go anywhere and make cabins.
You go back that far, you're a young man.
But now, even we across to go across the river, can't make nothing no more. Can't even make no fish camps. Not unless we ask permissions from our corporations or...
they're going to come out with, and then to make a uniform policy where we can treat every village the same way. As of today, the board's feeling is to hold back on all 14C3s, at the same time realizing that state of Alaska grants monies to the villages to put in a washateria or a school or whatever. Those are that we go to the villages and they identify exactly where this facility is to be put. We in turn make a quick claim lease to that village till 14C3 can be worked over so that the program can continue. And that's been the philosophy of the board, and it'll continue to be so till we transfer some of the lands.
Have you had any pressure from any of the councils in the Upper Kuskokwim to transfer 14C3 lands?
Yes, there's two villages, City of Aniak and City of Joachbalak. Joachbalak hasn't submitted their 14C3 plans. Aniak did at the last board meeting. And yes, we do have pressure from to convey that land.
Any reason why there's pressure from those two villages and not others?
Well, I think the City of Aniak is the largest village, as you're probably aware of, in our region. The native population, I think, is about equal, 300 and some people, or 200 and some natives, and about 200 some Caucasians. And the City of Aniak is comprised, I think, there seven city council members. Of that, I think one or two, or maybe one, is a native. And knowing how the municipality laws work, the city hired an engineer or a planner to plan out the 14C3. And it's very interesting how the selection was done. The act says that 1280 would be conveyed to the cities, and they did select the 1280 and beyond that for growth, I guess, future growth. And I'd be very hesitant right today to say that we will go along with this, because I have to deal with 11 other board members to any policy matters. But I do have my idea, my thoughts on that, but I don't think at this time I would.
What about one of the things Congress seemed to think that this land claim settlement, by setting up the corporate structure, they would provide a stream of income to Native people through the dividends, and that the corporations would provide jobs for Native people. How has the Kuskokwim Corporation worked out on both of those aspects?
I think to some degree we have failed in providing jobs, if that's what the expectation of the act was. Because of the fact that there is no industry that the corporation can put in here, or anything other than stores, as we can see here, that'll make any money. And again, I emphasize that the people that had stores were here already and doing a good job of providing that kind of service. For as
sawmill that we just discussed, I think something like that can be done if we can get more broader base to sell the logs. And we looked at those, and we decided at this time that there is really nothing out here that we can invest our money if we were to make a profit and continue to declare dividends to the people that we represent, other than maybe some oil minerals that we selected. And that, again, is under the Chilista Corporation, as you're aware of. So it's very limited for a corporation in a village to go into any industry or anything so that we can put the people to work. We do have that barge company that is all the employees except the management is all native people. I think there's ways that the corporation and the villages can work together in for instance, sawmill or gravel operation is that the municipalities under state statutes can get some funding and in turn put a sawmill, and we'd be willing to work with the villages to supply them with, the logs. We found that the study that we did on a sawmill, it would cost the corporation, if it was to do it, would cost in the neighborhood of $600,000 to $700,000 cash, upfront money for equipment. So that means when we sell the log, it would be astronomical. The price of it would be prohibitive to the natives.
What about dividends by your corporation? Can you give us the picture in recent years with respect to dividends?
Yes. We were very fortunate. We have kept tabs